You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to Humanitarian Radio on this beautiful Sunday afternoon in Southern California. I'm Janie Beauclair and I am here with Tony St. Tone.
Mm-hmm. I'm here every Sunday with you, unless you're in China traveling around the world.
How's your day going?
It's going great. Very excited about this weekend. We have some shows lined up, and we did a great show last weekend, which I know that we had talked about it last weekend before we...
A musical show, for those of you joining us for the first time.
Yeah. The name of the band is St. Tone, and last week we did a show for Nancy Cartwright and the Happy House Organization, and she does some...
Nancy's the voice of Bart Simpson.
Yes, she is.
Among many, many, many other voices.
And she's been doing this Happy House organization for about 10 years, and it's a really great organization that she has, and we've been able to do this with her for about five or six
years. It's either our fifth or sixth year this year, yeah.
That we've been doing it with her, and it's really awesome. Again, what she does, she goes out to inner cities, kids, and just gives out these little booklets, and these booklets basically give you information that you would think a child would already know, how to take care of themselves as far as their hygiene and just
being nice to other people.
Being nice to others.
Don't kill others.
Don't bully, don't kill. And you know, you would think something like killing would be something that kids would know. But again, where she goes, a lot of these kids grow up where killing is normal and dying is normal and being shot is normal. So.
And if you're just joining us for the first time, we like to actually talk about great things that happen on this show. And we like to feature people like Nancy Cartwright who are doing something great for their communities with the talent and notoriety that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So
definitely.
We applaud Nancy for doing that every year and keeping that rolling. And I want to tell you about something else that's pretty cool that's going on. Because we do broadcast Good News for Your Soul from around the world. This is a project that's going on in England. And it's called SAFE. And the producers from SAFE have decided that they were going to film this movie and all the proceeds of the movie are going to Cash for Kids. Cash for Kids is underprivileged kids in Yorkshire, England, that are in need of food and clothing and are fostered and that type of thing. And so these guys decided to develop a very successful film that is making a ton of money and being seen around the world. It's called SAFE. And they are donating all of the proceeds to this kids organization. So
that's awesome.
I'm talking about that because we are here in Hollywood. And people listening, go check out SAFE and follow their lead.
So it's Memorial Day weekend, and it is a weekend that we honor all of our vets and veterans out there who have served this country. And, you know, we've had Rock Your Vets, which is a guy who has an organization out there who helps a lot of the veterans.
He does rock concerts for the veterans.
And this is a great weekend just to honor and remember these guys that and women that have actually taken times out of their lives or dedicated their lives to actually serving this country and helping us out. And some didn't have choices back in World War I or World War II.
Right.
In Vietnam, they didn't have choices. There were things like drafts. So the fact that they were able to do that and serve our country, we should honor them, and that's what this whole weekend's about. I know a lot of people think about...
It's about saying thank you.
Picnics and parties and stuff, but it's also, you know, take a moment out. And as we spoke last week, I was been able to do a lot of shows around the world entertaining U.S. troops that are stationed in a lot of places that they don't want to be.
If you missed last week's show, you can hear all about stage diving by Tony St. Tone.
Yeah, stage diving in...
Go on the website on humanitarianradio.com and you can check on last week or any of the previous shows and watch them, by the way.
Yeah. Well, the whole point is this, is that I got a chance to really get a feel for what it's like to be in the Army or in the Navy.
And you didn't come back from all those trips and enlist.
No, unfortunately not. I mean,
you chose to stay the entertainer route.
I says I'm happy where I'm at, and it was a fun thing to visit, and I really have that much more respect for those guys because they really do have a tough job, and they have to answer to the authorities. If they say you're going to spend the next 2 years in Iraq, then
in a foxhole,
and someone else will be like, here are your papers, you're going to Hawaii. It's like, oh, great. And I remember I was actually there when a couple of guys got their orders, And one guy was going to Hawaii and one guy was going to the Middle East. And the expressions were obviously totally different.
I would imagine.
What they were going to do for the next couple of years.
Right.
But again, the whole point of this is that it's Memorial Day weekend. So, yeah, take a time out to just think about what these guys have done for us. We live in a country right now that is the way it is because of our veterans.
And if there's a veterans hospital around you somewhere, pop in and just, you know, bring some cookies, bring a balloon, pop into a stranger's room and make their day.
I got to say, you know, if you could do that, just randomly go to a veterans hospital.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Go in. I know I told this story a while back about Anthony Robbins with his little five-year-old son. And for those who didn't hear, I'm going to tell you this quick story. Anthony Robbins is a motivational speaker, and his son was home, and his grandmother brought over some balloons to him. He was 5 years old for no reason at all. It wasn't his birthday or anything. So the kid's face lit up, and he's like, oh, my God, Grandma bought all these balloons for me. And what Anthony had said to his son, he goes, you can keep those balloons, or we can go and do something special with them. And you could tell the kid didn't really know what to
really
do.
Wanted to keep
them, really
I'm
wanted
sure.
to keep them. He didn't want to give them away. But his dad sort of convinced him to say, why don't we just take a ride? So they went down to a local senior citizen home, and here's a five-year-old boy, for no particular reason, walked in with all these balloons and started handing balloons to all the people that he met, one by one.
See, how cool is that?
And every time he handed a balloon, well, he got all these hugs and kisses and all this love and affection, so he wanted to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so his dad taught him the lesson of, look, it's good to give. You can receive. It's a win-win situation. He could have kept all the balloons to himself, but yet he taught him at the age of five to just go out and do this random act of kindness. And I thought that was so
inspiring. And
he
would receive from that giving.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So, you know, imagine what that did for him at this point in his life, you know, as far as being 5 years old and saying, hey, there's enough to share. I'm going to share this with other people.
It's brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a thought of going out to these random
popping
places
in.
Yep. And just pop in. It doesn't have to be Mother's Day and it doesn't have to be a particular holiday.
You know, you and I have done that where we went into hospitals and went randomly into rooms and surprised people. You played the acoustic guitar, I played the tambourine and the shaker. We sang just random songs to people who were deathly ill. And what a surprise, you know, everybody lit up. No matter which room we went into, if they were old, if they were young, you know, if they were little five-year-olds or they were 65-year-old, it didn't matter.
And then
when we sang at the nurses' station, it was equally as big of a surprise and a feel-good moment for them.
You know, I was going to say, both moments were really awesome because when you get the one-on-one performances with the actual patients, the patients obviously light up because they're like, wow, I haven't had a visitor in a long time, or just having a private concert.
I don't feel good, yeah.
But then to go even further and doing it at the nurses' station, the nurses said we really needed that. I remember that when we did our performance, someone had passed away.
Yeah.
That morning, and they said we really needed that.
That lift.
Thank you for that, because usually the entertainers that do come through go through all the patients' rooms and never go to the nurses' station. And they're very appreciative.
The reason I was saying that is just pop in randomly, not just because it's a holiday. Bring them cookies, bring them something, no matter where it is. It could be a hospital, it could be your VA hospital, it could be a Salvation Army, it could be a Goodwill store where people are working and just trying to get further ahead.
Yeah.
Be nice to each other. Be kind to your fellow humanitarians.
Well, it's these random acts of kindness, I think, that really
paying it forward
shine through when you look at the big picture and you go, wow, that was really cool to see someone do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I want to tell you some things that are going on in June, because we are also rounding the end of May here. And I always like to give us the calendar of kind of unusual things and things you may not know or things you should probably know. So Frank Lloyd Wright had a birthday in 1867. He was born. His birthday's in June, on June 8th.
Do you know who Frank Lloyd Wright is?
No idea.
He's a famous architect.
I know.
Yes. And a lot of his buildings are actually right here in California.
In California, yes.
And I believe his home is right in Hollywood. It's the park. Isn't that Frank Lloyd Wright's park? I believe
so.
Oh,
yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, that's a park that we go to frequently.
Now, on his birthday, on the 8th, is also Race Unity Day. It's a day where people are supposed to come together and drop the race. Don't worry about what color or where somebody's from. It's Race Unity Day. It's a day to be nice to everybody, no matter what, even those that you have a grudge against or don't really know or understand, and therefore you stay away from.
And what day is that?
That's the 8th of June.
I would have never known that day existed.
See?
It's really interesting because a lot of these holidays, they end up on a calendar, but they don't get a lot of recognition.
Do you know what the first is, June 1st? Stand for Children Day. Stand up for children's rights. So all the organizations that have children's rights issues that they protect and work for, the 1st of June is their day. But one of my favorites might be the 6th of June.
Is it your birthday? No.
National Applesauce Cake Day.
Oh. Well, of course.
Who'd have thunk it? It also happens to be Donut Day.
I love Donut Day.
And the same day is World Environment Day.
Now, how do they all pick the same day? Donut Day, World Environment Day, and Applesauce Day.
There's a million different days going on, and you only have 365 to choose from.
Right.
So, of course, many have to overlap.
That's really interesting. I would have thought
that. But you have to petition to get your day. Like Cassidy Mack has Cassidy Mack Day.
Yeah, but that's in Texas.
In their
town. Yeah.
Right. Same. It's the same idea.
I gotcha.
Let's see. What else have we got here?
Can we have a Tony Day? How about 2 Day?
The first Ford ever made day is Wednesday the 4th, which happens to be my son Ted's birthday. 28 years old this year. Happy. And
he doesn't drive a Ford,
World
though.
Egg Day. What do you suppose that's about?
It's about all the eggs in the world coming together before Easter.
Egbert.
After Easter.
You're a little late. That would be the 13th of June, World Egg Day. Then we have Pop Goes the Weasel Day on the 14th. Yes.
Is this like the calendar of ridiculous days out there?
No, it's
not
just
Groundhog Day or Secretary Day, but Egg Day and
it's
Pop
called
Goes the Weasel Day.
WorldEventCalendars.com.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
And, you know, the news really doesn't talk about this, so I guess these guys have to work a little harder to petition
to get
more.
To get it out there. How about the 10th, National Yo-Yo Day? I used to love the yo-yo.
Ah, a yo-yo.
And the 11th is E.T. Movie Premiere Day, 1982.
Really?
Okay. Donald Duck Day on the 9th. Donald Duck was born in 1934. Who knew
he's
that?
He's a little old. He's got white feathers.
What else we got? The typewriter was patented on the 23rd in 1868. The U.S. Department established a Justice Department in 1870.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Kangaroo was born in 1927.
Is he still around?
I don't think so.
Oh.
The first
For all you
bicycle,
younger kids out there, Captain Kangaroo was like the bomb.
Oh, now this is a cool day, see. On the 26th, the first bicycle was patented. It also is National Chocolate Pudding Day. And it's the invention of the toothbrush.
Perfect combination.
Toothbrush.
Chocolate pudding and toothbrush.
While riding your bike.
Yes.
The toothbrush was invented in 1498. I had no idea.
Wow.
Now, to round off the month of June, we have Superman's birthday on the 30th. 1938, Superman. And then we have the National Organization of Women, which was founded in 1966. That surprises me that it was founded that early because I didn't think they were really paying much attention to women's rights and all that stuff in the mid-60s like that. But apparently they were because they formed this National Organization of Women.
Yeah, that's when they were trying to get their rights.
Yeah. So the first iPhone was released in 2007. And that...
Is that iPhone Day?
That's now it's just, you know, stating a fact.
Oh.
On the 29th of the month. And other things that are going on in this month, it's National Dairy Month. It's National Safe Driving Month. National Fresh Fruits and Vegetable Month. National Iced Tea Month. National Rose Month. National Safety Month. National Tennis Month. And don't forget, Turkey Lovers Month.
Really? It's not November? It's June?
It's also Adopt a Cat Month, National Black Music Month, National Caribbean American Heritage Month. So,
what does it take
anything?
To get a national month?
You got to apply. You have to petition why you deserve.
It's National Humanitarian Radio Month.
It is. Well, it's all year for that one.
Let's talk about our guest today, because we have a great guest today.
Let's do that. We've got Scott Barton coming on, and we met Scott through a real good friend of ours, Sue Procco. She owns a public relations firm called Sue Procco PR, and we have loved her for a few years that we've been out here and met her. She's one of my first pals.
Yep.
Yay. Hi, Susie Q. And she has a gentleman that works with her in the PR world, and his name is Scott. Scott works with an organization called Stage. Stage did a very large benefit just recently, and we're going to let him tell you all about it, and he will be coming up in just a few minutes. Multi-talented guy, has a lot of great things to say. So stand by. We'll take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Scott.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. Cause I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock song.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician
Tone.
Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.fainttone.com.
Mama said we can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
This segment of the show sponsored by Artistic Journey, where we help groups and organizations reach their fundraising goals by providing unique marketing products to showcase their events. Be sure to visit artisticjourney.com, where you can shop for over 750,000 items to put your logo on, all at wholesale pricing. Whether you're looking for some fresh ideas or just need a better price on the goods you currently purchase, let Artistic Journey's years of experience bring your events to a whole new level. Visit artisticjourney.com today. So we are back, and I am so happy to welcome Scott Barton to the scene. How are you today, Scott?
I'm excellent, you guys. Nice talking to you. Thanks for the opportunity.
You know, I'm only bummed out that I didn't hear about what you were doing prior to the show so we could have had our listeners, you know, participate with you. But I'm happy to say that we're going to now introduce them all to you, your program, and what you guys are all about, and hope that they will back you, follow you guys through the year, and see how they can help for the 31st anniversary of the show.
Terrific. Well, we're not quite starting up on it yet, since it's only been a week since we had our last one, but we'll start cranking ideas pretty soon.
So let's talk about the Stage show and the 30th anniversary, and tell our listeners who are new to you guys exactly what you've been doing for 30 years.
Well, STAGE is an acronym for Southland Theater Artists Goodwill Event, and it is a musical production that was first done in 1984. It began as, I don't want to make it light or a joke about it, but it's really kind of a basic Hollywood story. Back in 1983, when the AIDS crisis was just beginning and gay men were just, you know, dropping dead left and right, and there was no support coming from anywhere, there were two gentlemen, one named James Carroll Pickett, who later died of AIDS, and then another man named Michael Kearns, who were playwrights and best friends. And they got together and they were thinking, we've got to come up with something to help our friends out. They were both in the theater, and a lot of the theater community was being affected, and there were guys that had, you know, they had moved away from home, they were living by themselves, they didn't have any money, they didn't have food, they didn't have medical insurance. So James and Michael wanted to come up with something, and they thought, well, let's put on a show, very much the Mickey and Judy classic. Let's put on a show. And
sure.
They went to a friend of theirs named David Galligan, who at the time was a journalist, a theater journalist, and they asked him for some direction and advice, and they came up with the idea of putting on a musical show, and it took off from there. So in 1984, the first stage show took place downtown at the Variety Arts Theater, and it was on a Monday night because they were asking people in the musical theater community to participate and perform or play instruments or do the lighting and all that stuff. And Monday nights are the only nights that the theater community have dark. So it was on a Monday night, and okay, admission was $10 and whatever food you could bring, canned food, bread, and all these things got pretty much divided up and given to the friends of the people that were participating to kind of help sustain them.
Very nice.
And that's how it all began. And now 30 years later, Stage has raised close to $7 million for the AIDS Project LA. But also during the 30 years, money has been given to a number of HIV/AIDS service organizations in LA. It's a local benefit for the people that live here. We've had over 300 celebrities perform. It's been a great, wonderful, fulfilling experience.
Two things that I want to say here. First of all, I looked up the estimates online of the amount of people living in Los Angeles with HIV or AIDS. As of December 2013, there was 50,550 people just in Los Angeles that were aware that they have AIDS and HIV. There's an additional 9,500 people estimated that are unaware of it. So this is just in our one city here, one city area, those types of numbers. So when you look across the United States and you imagine what the big picture is, it's amazing to have a group like you guys raising $7 million over the last 30 years in an effort to help these stats out. I can only imagine what the numbers were prior to you guys' assistance, because now after 7 million, you're at 50,000 people. So we totally applaud the project and you guys' forethought 30 years back. And I know you've been involved in this 29 years. Bravo. It's pretty awesome.
Well, thank you. It is to watch how this whole thing has morphed. And I can give you an example. When we were really, in the first 10 years of Stage, once it got going, it became such a popular event that we were doing four shows in a weekend.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of work.
Every single one of them was a sellout.
Nice.
Because, and I don't mean to diminish it, but, AIDS was sort of the disease of the moment.
Right.
Although the moment lasted for 15 years. But everybody wanted to get involved. And the more people heard about it, the more they were aware that politically there was still no support.
Right.
Reagan didn't even mention the word AIDS until 1987.
Yeah.
And his administration completely ignored it.
Sure. They didn't know how to handle it.
Categorized it as a gay disease and sort of serves them right.
Yeah.
But the theater community knew better than that because they were being hit really, really hard. The community, the Hollywood community, the creative arts community. So at that time, we were doing four shows in a weekend, and in the years since then, we do one night only now. And I think a large part of that is what we call AIDS fatigue. And people think that it's a manageable disease and nobody gets it anymore, and that really isn't the case. APLA is having they've been around 30 years, God love them, and they are a support group now, too, and they've had to morph. They have a lot more programs, dental assistance. They've got their Necessities of Life program, which is a food pantry for people who are too ill with HIV to work and don't have enough food to eat, so they go to the food pantry, and they're sustained that way. But this is a disease that's not going away anytime soon, and people are living with it. But there are still serious physical repercussions, and people are unable to work. And it's sad that the younger generation thinks that, oh, I can get it, and I'll just take a pill. But nonetheless, Stage has been part of it from the beginning, and we continue to do what we can to help support APLA.
Well, that's what I was curious about. I wanted to mention something. This disease has been around for 30 years, and at one point it was a very hot topic, and everyone was speaking about it. And
not so much now.
And now it's sort of gone to the side, and I think people think, well, we have a cure for it. And it's not necessarily that we have a cure for it. We just have a way to sustain people's living longer with the AIDS virus. But I'm curious, when you first started your very first event, was that a success enough for you guys to go forward, or was it difficult to keep it going? That's what I was just curious. Because a lot of people always want to start something, and they go, oh, well, the first one wasn't good, and they stop. So was yours a very big success in the very first go, or did you have to make effort to make a second one happen?
Well, I didn't even go to the first one because I didn't know about it. But once I heard about it, when I read about it in Dramalog, which was the theater weekly newspaper of the day, when I read about it, because I had been involved with AIDS from the very, very beginning on my own, just by being in the theater community and having a lot of friends affected by it. And when I saw that this amazing group of performers had gotten together to do a show, I ended up going to Dramalog and tracking down the publicist from the event, who was a buddy of mine, and said, how can I help? And I think that's what a lot of people did when the first one had finally been staged. They went, oh, I want to do it next year. And especially the performers, because it was specifically for theater people at that time.
Right.
And, you know, and then theater now in L.A. is not the biggest deal, and back 30 years ago was even a smaller deal. And so the opportunity to perform and then be part of a benefit and doing Broadway music was, you know, something that really drew the community together. And after the second one, I don't remember if the second one was just one show or it may have been extended to two because it sold out so quickly. But from number two on, it really, really took off. And, you know, it's like any community. When you hear about it, you hear, oh, my God, that was the best night of theater of my whole life. And then, you know, it spreads like that. And then it's continued that way for 30 years.
Gotcha. Yeah, and again, the only reason why I asked that question is we do have a lot of different guests on our show. And a lot of times there are people that would like to, the listeners would like to start something like this or start an organization, start a fundraiser, and either they don't know how to start or they do one and they go, oh, well, that wasn't a success. I won't ever do that again. And what I'm trying to get is, hey, your first one might not be successful, but at least you get it done and now you move on to your second one and really push how to make the second one better. And here is a perfect example. You guys did the first one, and it just kept going for 30 years. And to keep it going that long and keeping that awareness in the forefront, I really applaud you guys because, let's face it, it hasn't been the hot topic that it was back in the 80s. But it is still something that we are living with and we are dealing with. And as Janie said, there's 5,500 people right here.
50,500.
Oh, 50,500. Yeah, a couple 500, more. right here in Los Angeles. So I applaud you guys for continuing to make an effort to help these people and to help people bring awareness to the situation.
One of the other things that we focus on this show are people of celebrity status or have some type of fame using their name and their talent for good and for great causes, because there's so many people in the Hollywood area that do these great things and they never get any recognition for it. The only thing you hear about them is what is, you know, propaganda smeared on the front of the Inquirer.
That's TMZ.
Yeah, so we like to feature and focus people who are doing great things with their talent and show them off in the light that they deserve. And this is certainly an event that goes on that a lot of famous faces and names have helped over the last 30 years. And like this year, I saw that you had Richard Chamberlain was involved, and also one of my favorites, Helen Reddy, which I was really surprised to see those two names involved among many, many, many other popular names. I think that's really cool that these guys give of their time to support the local arts, A, but also the community in such a strong way with their talent.
You know, thank you. Thank you for that. And I'm really honored to be on a show like yours that puts the spotlight on organizations like Stage. There are thousands and thousands of them, and none of them are easy. Every one of them is a struggle, as you guys know from
right.
The effort that you make. I think what for me personally has always been so fulfilling is that when you start to create an entity like Stage, it draws people to it who come with generous souls.
Right.
And they want to contribute. It's what can I do for you? How can I help? Which is such a wonderful and refreshing feeling and experience to be with people. You know, we have fights and we have disagreements and we have clashes of ideas, but it all is from a really deeply rooted common good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then when the show goes up, you know, a lot of the performers, like Richard Chamberlain, didn't even know what Stage was until one of the producers invited him to be part of it. And at the end of the show, he was flabbergasted by the response and what it was like to be performing with people that, you know, he didn't even hang out with.
Right,
Ellen
right.
Ellen Reddy has never sounded better in her life, and she was just the most quiet, under-the-radar person. And she sat through all the rehearsals. You know, they do one number, and it was a four-hour show.
Right, right.
So, you know, they get there before the show, and then, you know, she didn't come until the second act. So she sat backstage and just chatted with all the other performers and the dancers and the backup singers and all in that crowded backstage area. And she was just delighted to be in the theater with all this energy and excitement going on. And when she came out on stage, the audience went berserk.
Excellent.
And, you know, the standing ovation for the finale. And the room is just filled with love and enthusiasm and gratitude. And you're high from it for a week.
Yeah. You know, we always talk about when you're trying to accomplish something and you're setting goals for yourself, always surround yourself with like-minded people, because the energy that you're going to get from them and the feeling that happens when you surround yourself with people who are in the same brainwave, if you will, it's magical. It's magic what comes out of that scenario. So we always encourage that, and it sounds like that's exactly what you had going on, not only on the stage, but in the audience as well.
Yeah. You know, being the publicist, I'm out in the lobby, usually with the news crew or something before the show
mm-hmm.
begins, and the excitement is palpable. And it's cool because I can imagine, I'm not a parent, so I'm just guessing, but it's almost like you're introducing your kid to something that you grew up with that made you so happy. And I hear people out in the lobby saying, well, you've never been to one of these. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but just wait, because you're
awesome.
Never going to see anything like this unless you come to an event like this. You know, one number after the other is just one knock out of the park, and you're going to see people that you know from films and television and stage that you didn't know could sing or didn't know could dance or never saw them do this kind of a musical number.
Right.
And every number is a surprise. And you just go, wow, that was cool. And then the next one is, wow, I didn't know he could do that. And then by the end of it, it's like, okay, I'm done. I need a nap. I'm worn out.
Yeah.
With the money that you raise, can you just let our listeners know where that money goes and how you utilize it?
The money goes pretty much every year now to AIDS Project Los Angeles. And that's an organization that started 30 years ago here in L.A. to meet the needs of the AIDS community. And they have... they have little satellite places all over the city where you can go and get tested. If you don't know your HIV status, mm-hmm. you can go to their building on Kingsley, down on 6th and Kingsley in Koreatown. They've got counseling. They've got group sessions that people, you know, if you've got HIV and you're all alone and you don't really know what to do, you can go and talk to the counselors there or some of the group counselors. Like I mentioned, they've got dental facilities. If you don't have dental insurance, and a lot of times one of the things about HIV is it affects your gums, and you're more prone to gum disease by having a weakened immune system. And and so they offered dental things for that. And then, like I mentioned, they've got the Necessities of Life program, which is basically a food pantry, and you can go in and get what you need,
nice.
You know, sustain yourself with foods that you may not be able to afford if you're on public assistance or disability, you know, things like that.
I would imagine.
It's also involved in a lot of national things, a lot, because they're a model. They were one of the very, very first community-based volunteer-supported organizations to come from the AIDS crisis. So they help a lot in smaller communities and how to get, you know, an AIDS clinic or an AIDS project set up in their own cities. Everybody in LA is familiar with the AIDS Walk.
Right,
that
right.
They have every September or October. That has raised millions and millions and millions of dollars for them, and they were one of the national models of how to put that together and to make it a successful, not only a fundraiser but an awareness raiser.
Right, right.
People would know more about HIV and that not be afraid of it. You know, come in, get tested, and then find out.
It's better to know so you can deal with it than not know and not take care of it.
Well, I noticed there was a campaign that went on throughout L.A. where they were doing a lot of billboards.
Right.
Doing AIDS testing. I believe it was for free. Because I remember seeing those billboards all over the place. So I'm assuming a lot of these organizations that you're working with, this is where a lot of the money gets spent, just to bring awareness that you can still get tested out there and you don't have to be ashamed of it. There's a place to go and have...
And a support team
and
support systems and that. You guys raised $275,000 from this one show. I can imagine that did a lot of support, you know, for an organization of this nature. $275,000 can certainly put a nice dent in the needs of groups like this that are trying to help out people with AIDS and HIV. I definitely encourage people listening to this show to take it upon themselves to step off the ledge, if you will, and have the cojones to try something. Scott, what would you recommend to somebody that is just beginning to understand the need for various fundraisers and things of that wants to try to put on some type of a show but doesn't really know what to do? Like, how would you recommend somebody get started at that? Good one, huh?
Yeah, it's sort of like asking a professor about creationism. Well, how do you know how to start it? As I stumble through this,
we'll
my suggestion would be if somebody is really interested in coming up with a fundraiser, start with APLA, or start with Sage. The website for APLA is apla.org.
Okay.
And on there you will find a link for Stage, but we have our own website, which is stagela.com. And on our website, it has the whole history of the show, how it began, by whom, why, every single show, who, what the composer was, what theater it was in. I mean, it's like going to the
archives.
Philadelphia and finding the Constitution. I mean, everything is just right there. But you might want to go to apla.org and look through their website. And I'm sure that if you contacted somebody there, they could tell you how to get started. And if not, they could certainly direct you to some other group. I don't know that there's an organization on how to put on a fundraiser, but...
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody in an organization like APLA would be happy to, they'll give the rudimentary recipe for it.
Right, and which it would be great.
I think from my experience with APLA, that would be a good place to begin.
I think that's a really smart answer because they've already obviously not... You don't have to reinvent the wheel,
They've done it successfully, and they can tell you how to get involved in either... getting involved in what they're already doing or a branch of
It'd be great to have it in cities all over the country.
Right, because we have a lot of listeners across the country. So if someone's in Florida or in Connecticut or somewhere
Chicago,
and wants to
put
on something similar, I'm sure they can go to this website and go, well, this is how they did it.
Yeah,
let's do the same thing here in New York,
in their
or let's
community.
Do it in Florida. I think that's a great idea. And again, obviously, it's been very successful because you've been able to do it for the past 30 years, which is sometimes unheard of because, you know, the interest is no longer there. And yet you guys have still kept plugging away to say, hey, listen, there's still a need for this. And
successfully at $275,000 for a one-night show.
Yeah,
yeah, that's huge success. That is just a beautiful number.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you involved?
Now that we're all talking about it, what came to my mind also that might quicken it or cut out some of the footwork is if a person has a fundraiser that they have in mind, there's got to be a reason and there's got to be a focus on what it is. And my guess is that it's not a brand new disease or a brand new need.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to raise money for your school, then go to the school district and say to them, I would like to raise money for my school. Do you have any ideas? Do you have any suggestions on how I can do that?
Right.
And get the ball. It's like basically reaching your hand out and asking for help.
Very smart.
And if you find that there's a homeless group in your town that needs help, there's government agencies. You know, go to Social Security or go to the church nearby and say, I'd like to have a barbecue to raise money for this homeless group. And don't do it alone. Make that first introduction and let people contribute. Let them guide with their knowledge. My experience has been it blooms from the seminal idea. It takes not a lot to get it to start growing.
Right.
And then more people want to be involved. And don't think it's got to be a $275,000 event. We've been doing this a long time. But it can be a band concert. I had some friends in my neighborhood who rented a movie and put a sheet up in their backyard and got their DVD player out and charged $10 and had 40 neighborhood kids come over and watch, I don't know, some cartoon movie, and they raised $400, $500 from additional donations and
That's
went
awesome.
To buy art supplies for their school.
Brilliant. You know, I always say it doesn't matter if you're having a lemonade sale at the end of your driveway or making brownies for the church, whatever it is that you can do, and that is just a really simple example of anybody that has it in their heart to do something philanthropic can do simple things without having previous experience. That's an awesome example right there.
Right, just putting a movie on outside of your house with like
kids.
You said,
that's brilliant.
With kids and a simple bed sheet and a projector, I think that's a great idea. And again, it just shows the creativity of you don't need hundreds of dollars to start this thing or to get a fundraiser started. All you need is some enthusiasm and some passion to actually do it, and you'll find a way. And I also 1,000% agree, when you ask for help, you'll receive help. Most people just don't know how to ask.
Or are afraid or embarrassed.
Afraid to ask, and, well, I don't want to ask them. They're too big of an organization. You're like, no, ask them because they're more than willing to assist you because they want to see more of this happening around the world. I applaud you guys for doing this for so long. Are you involved in any other projects throughout the year? Because I know that this is a once-a-year thing, and it's a pretty hefty thing, but I'm just curious if there's anything else that you're involved in.
Not to sound like a slug, but no.
Okay.
not in a philanthropic way. I mean, in the 1990s, when AIDS was, or the late 80s, when AIDS was really going, I, by nature of being a publicist and working in the entertainment industry, I was able at the beginning of the AIDS crisis to work on the very first Commitment to Life benefit, which was for AIDS Project LA, and that was Elizabeth Taylor's project. So I got to work with Elizabeth and work on that. And I worked on that as a volunteer in the PR area for several years, and then when I was the publicist for General Hospital, the TV show, we did 3 or 4 years of the Nurses' Ball, which was an AIDS fundraiser on the show.
Right.
In fact, right now,
it just had it.
The Nurses' Ball is back.
Yeah, it was on last week. I actually got to see that.
Yeah. And while I was there, because I had worked with Ryan White and his mom, I talked to the executive producer, Wendy Rich, who was a lovely woman, and Claire Levine, the head writer, and they wrote Jeannie White into the script. So Jeannie got to fly out from Indiana and make a speech at the Nurses' Ball, which made it even more real for the viewer. And because I had worked on the AIDS Project Quilt as the L.A. publicist, I went to San Francisco, the organization up there, and asked if they would send panels from the AIDS quilt to use as a backdrop for the Nurses' Ball. So we had the real AIDS quilt there.
Wow.
And that made the cast even more thrilled to be doing something.
Absolutely, because it wasn't just for...
I was very, very, very active. And the one that I've stayed with all these years was the first one I got involved with, and that was stage. So philanthropically, that's the one that I devote my time to.
Well, and you know, going back, calling yourself a slug, obviously you're a very busy person. You're a very busy slug. And you're doing such great things, and the ideas that you just presented to us, I mean, that's what makes it so amazing and creative, that there's so many different ways of going about this to bring excitement and bring enthusiasm to a project. I think that's great.
So, Scott, where can people find you if they want to hire you for your services and your creative ideas?
Oh, wow, thank you.
Yeah.
You can email me at scott@scottbartonmedia.com, B-A-R-T-O-N.
Okay.
I freelance with a wonderful boutique PR agency in Culver City, that is sppr.inc.com.
Sue Procco.
Is that Sue Procco?
Sue Procco is a very good friend of ours.
Yep, that is Sue Procco, and she is very, very involved. She is the co-president of the Entertainment AIDS Alliance, which has been in existence for over 20 years. That was the video industry AIDS organization, and she and my good buddy Jeff Genest have been the co-presidents of that, and Sue is very philanthropically minded. She's always working on something.
Love Sue.
She's been a wonderful supporter of stage as well in the 7 years that I've been associated with her. She was at the show. You can find me. I'm on Facebook, and I'd be more than happy to help people get the word out about their event.
That's awesome. Awesome. Scott, we are so happy that you could join us today. And let me tell you, we're going to keep bringing you back around so that we can get people to support stage, particularly when you guys start ramping up again and you're looking for sponsors and that type of thing. We would love, love, love to have you just pop in on our show from time to time and let us know what you guys need and, you know, where you're at and what you're working on, and then we'll help out with the ticket sales on the station as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your support. Of course, being a publicist, now that you opened that door, I'm going to be hawking you to death.
Excellent. Listen, we always say that if you...
It's all for the common good, like we talked about before. I'm so appreciative that you have an outlet like this that reaches so many people. You know, I've always felt that if there's a need, there's a way. And are you, like we said, if you express that you have a need, I think mankind's general makeup is to help us survive.
Right.
And if you need something, you need to make that need known.
Absolutely.
So that we fulfill the circle of energy and allow, you know, we can heal each other. And your program certainly enables people to be part of that circle, and I'm so very grateful that you let me be part of it today.
Absolutely. And listen, we always tell our listeners, if you guys know of somebody that's doing great things in the community, let us know. Send us a smoke signal or something that tells us so that we can feature people on our show like you, Scott. So if you know somebody, Scott, that we should be showcasing, feel free to let us know and keep in touch with us and come back to the show.
I, I certainly will. I already have an idea in mind, so be prepared.
Excellent.
Scott, thank you again for being part of our show, and we look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you guys so very much.
So in honor of Scott being on our show and continuing this fundraiser for 30 years, I want to send out a song to him. This is what we do every week. It's a song called I Ain't Giving Up.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. I'm giving up. Too much pride. I'm giving up. Side to side. I'm giving up on all your negative eyes. Slim to the fall. Will I get back up? Him on home. Meet me at double mid-run. Crossing the finish line. It's time to believe. It's time to achieve. Help me. Fight to fight. Better to die on the green. Believe me. I give it up. I'm giving up. Too much drive. I'm giving up. The failure to try. I'm giving up. Trying to justify. You think I'm too young. Well, I'm just as young. You're too old. I love rock that boat. Don't know. Here to figure it out. Hung on the line. Fighting the fight. Is free. I'm down with the time. I'm full of the time. Killing the dream. Giving up, oh, no. I ain't giving up, I ain't giving up. I got love, I got trust, I got faith, I don't know about the fall. I got dreams and beliefs, pushing me through my destiny. Cause everything I choose, I'll do, I'll walk your life. Don't you know it's up inside? Let no one else live your life.
So that was I Ain't Giving Up. That goes out again to Scott for keeping this organization and this fundraising going for 30 years. Keep it going. That song could be found at www.sainttone.com. We'll be right back after a short message from our sponsors.
So listen up. If you're on the market for a graphic designer, you know, someone who can create logos, websites, etc., along with radio ads and video, well, there's no need to look any further than ST Productions. It's your one-stop shop for all your graphic, audio, and video needs. ST Productions will get it done while saving you money and having fun. So keep them in mind, ST Productions, an audio, video, graphic design service.
Gilman Amps, we create the tone in your head. Custom-built guitar and bass tube amplifiers.
Hey everybody, this is David Gilman from Gilman Amps. If you need any repairs, modifications, or restorations of your vintage or modern tube equipment, as well as custom builds, I'd love to hear from you.
For more information, check out their website, GilmanAmps.com, and Facebook.com/GilmanAmps. We create the tone in your head.
So, you know, it's real easy to do your own fundraiser. If you look online and you just put fundraising events for the month of June, for example, it comes up with over 30,000 different fundraising opportunities with people who are already doing them. And whether you're giving to your church through a fundraiser, to an individual that you know that needs a serious hand, You heard what Scott was saying about they did a movie in the backyard basically to raise money on a sheet. What a great idea. So don't be afraid to explore and get out there. This one particular site that I'm looking at is called ABC Fundraiser. You can work through Domino's Pizza to do fundraisers for your schools or Subway or Jiffy Lube or Pizza Hut. There's a lot of corporate companies out there that will partner with you, whether you're a school raising money for, you know, one of your like music classes or things of that nature or whatever. There's candle companies that will give you 70% off profit on everything you sell. Flower bulb companies, chocolate bars, cotton candy, flip-flops. I mean, there's some really cool and crazy stuff.
Did you go door-to-door selling flip-flops?
You could sell them any way you want. You could sell them at your church. That's a front door that says, you know, I walked a mile in Jesus' shoes. The point is, there's so many different things out there that it's silly to not do a fundraiser when there's every avenue and every tool to help you to get one accomplished.
Well, I think what you're trying to say is there is more ideas than you realize out there if you want to do a fundraiser and help an organization out. It doesn't have to just be, I remember back in the day we used to sell Christmas cards, you know.
Yeah, and the other thing was
a bake sale.
What was it? Trick or treat for UNICEF. Remember,
right.
You used to walk around with a little box to raise money.
Right. So there's other ways,
yeah,
and like you're saying,
a gazillion ways to do
having
it.
Having larger organizations get behind it and help you out, like something like Jiffy Lube, where it's like, hey, I need an oil change, and that oil change that everyone really could use could be a fundraiser.
Yeah. This company, abcfundraising.com, they show you the top five fundraising ideas in the country that have been the most successful.
And what are they?
Small mom and pop things that raise, like this one couple says, we were able to raise $3,200 in 2 weeks. And these guys will give you a whole sample kit, and they'll give you exactly step by step. And they're a support team as well. So definitely, I mean, you can look into them, but there's also a gazillion other ones. And just putting in June charity events, Google comes up with a thing saying, are you looking for fundraising events? Boy Scouts of America, charity event planning, charity events going on in your community, charity conventions, birthday parties, Christian parties, party planning for your charity, FedEx tracking for your charity donations, whatever that might be about, volunteer opportunities. There's just a lot of other categories that you can look under that can assist you with your setting up of a charity. And a charity could be a family in your community that needs help. It doesn't have to be
a large organization,
a big organization, right, or a big illness or something massive. You can do small things to help each other and get yourself started in that philanthropic world, and we absolutely welcome it.
That is awesome.
So if you know somebody that's doing something great, please reach out to humanitarianradio.com, whether on the website or on our Facebook, and let us know what they're doing. We would love, love, love to showcase the positive things that people are doing out there in the world, from small organizations to large, from movie stars to your next-door neighbor. We want to hear about all the great things going on in the world, because Humanitarian Radio is good news for your soul.
We'll see you all next week. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio. Shouting out some good news for your soul.